Take your Bibles this morning and join me in the book of Luke. Begin with chapter number 6. As anyone who teaches the Word of God, we wrestle many times with subjects we need to talk about. And we try to ask God to direct us and show us what He would have us to do, what He would have us to study. What do we need as a church? What do we need as Christians today in our lives to encourage us, to stir us, and to awaken us to reality? I look at the life of Jesus. Jesus was on earth maybe 33 and a half years. Now, those 33 and a half years, only 3.5 years was given to ministry. And during those 3.5 years, He chose people to help Him, to assist Him. They were called disciples, they were called apostles. And we today, as we begin our study, we're going to talk about men, some of these men who God used to change the world during their time, It's amazing how God uses simple, ordinary people, isn't it, to do His work. God has chosen you. God has chosen me. We have a task to do. If you're a born-again child of God, God has something for you to do. Number one, you can pray. You can read your Bible. You can study. You can witness. God may put you in a position to teach, to be an usher, to sing. Whatever it is, there's something that you can do for God. And whatever it is, we need to be busy doing it. But we're going to look at men who changed the world. Some men who changed the world. We're going to focus through the 12 disciples this quarter, hopefully. We'll talk about all of them and their lives and how God used them as men in a capacity to help the world in His time, to be what it ought to be and what God wanted it to be. We begin in Luke chapter number 6. We want to begin reading, first of all, verse number 12. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 12. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for this time together. Thank You for the Word of God that You've given us now to open, to read, to study. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher as we focus upon this subject today, how men who changed the world. God, we need Your help. We need strength today. And God, again, we lift up Brother Tyra to You today and ask Your blessings upon him and others in our church that are sick and are hurting. I pray You bless them, Lord, in a very special way. Have Your willing way now, this time we have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 12, it came to pass in those days, He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, notice, He called unto Him His, what's that next word? Disciples. First of all, He called unto Him His disciples. And notice, and of them, that is, of His disciples, He chose 12, whom also He named who?
Apostles.
Apostles. So we see here, the 12 were called disciples, and they were also sometimes called apostles. Now, what is the difference between an apostle and a disciple? That's the question. What is the difference between an apostle and a disciple? We see a disciple certainly is a learner of a teacher. We notice in the gospel that Jesus taught His disciples in the gospels. He taught them. Everything they knew, He taught them. They were His disciples. They followed Him. They learned of Him. They were a student of Him. They imitated Him in their lives as they grew up. They followed Jesus. They learned from Jesus. They were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospels. But now, an apostle is one who is sent forth, one who is chosen for a special commission, And we find here that they were specific people. First of all, they were chosen directly by the Lord Himself. Luke 6, look at verse 13. The Bible says, "And when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples, and of them He chose 12, whom also He named apostles." So these apostles were named by the Lord Jesus Christ. We see one sent for, one chosen, one sent for a special commission, one chosen directly here by the Lord Himself. apostles were chosen by God himself. We also see they were endued with signs and gifts. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. These were men that had special gifts. Acts chapter 5. We'll see why a little later on today, hopefully in our lesson, why they were assigned this. Acts chapter 5. Look at verse number 12. They were endued with signs and gifts. That is, these apostles. Apostles now. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and had laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of these cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed and unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. So we see these apostles were given signs. They were given ability, if you please, and gifts to heal people, to raise people up, to get demons out of people. They had that power from God. We also see in Acts chapter 1, turn to Acts chapter 1, another credential about an apostle. Anybody could not be an apostle, folks. They were commissioned by God. This was a specific person commissioned by God. In Acts chapter 1, look at verse number 22. An apostle had to be an eyewitness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's why there's no apostles today. I don't know anybody living today was an eyewitness of the resurrection of Christ. Do you? It's impossible. Look at verse number 22 of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, beginning from the baptism of John until that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. This was a key to being an apostle, one who was a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we see here, they were directly chosen by the Lord himself, an apostle was. We also see they were endued with signs and gifts, and also they were an eyewitness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who an apostle is. That's who an apostle is. Now, there was a period of time in history we call the apostolic age. There was a time, a period in history of the church when the apostles were alive. That began with Pentecost, and it ended when the last apostle died. And when the last apostle died, that was the end of the apostolic age. This office was not and could not be passed to another person. It was over with. When the apostles died, no more apostles. No more apostles. So we see here now the difference between a disciple and an apostle here. And we find why God chose them. God chose them. Jesus went back to heaven in Acts chapter 1, right? He chose these men to continue his work after he left. He called them apostles to do that work. And we find here we are today. Now, I want us to notice three things today about these apostles. Number one, they're called. Number two, they're chosen. And number three, they were prepared. They were called, they were chosen, and they were prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ. An amazing thing about me, God, Jesus Christ, did not just tell somebody to do it without showing them how to do it, or being an example before them of how to do it. He's the greatest teacher that's ever been, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody can teach like he could. Nobody was that example that he is. But he taught these disciples, these apostles, what to do. Now, in Luke chapter 6, where we are, let's begin here looking at, first of all, in verses 12 through 16. Verse number 12, notice what happened. It came to pass in those days that he, who is he? Tell me. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus Christ, went out into a what? Mountain. Why? to pray. We see that often through the scriptures, don't we? How Jesus goes aside into a mountain to pray. Notice here he said, and continued all night in prayer to who? God. Who is God? It's his Father, right? Jesus went out to a mountain to pray there all night to his Father. Now, why would Jesus go out and pray all night to his Father? Jesus don't just pray just to pray, does he? He has a purpose to pray. He has a plan to pray. He has a commission to pray. Why did he go and talk to his Father all night? He has a reason here to do that. First of all, Jesus Christ is our Savior. He was a depending Savior. He was depending upon his Father. Upon everything that he did, he depended upon God the Father here in this passage of Scripture. A depending Savior, he depending on the faithfulness of his Father. His Father has been faithful to his Son, Jesus, and he would always be faithful to his Son, Jesus. Therefore, he went upon the mountain there to pray to his Father, and he prayed all night. Anybody here ever prayed all night? No, none of us have, really. But you know, Jesus was a man of prayer, wasn't he? He was a human man in the flesh, God, but he prayed all night upon a mountain. He wasn't in a church like this to pray where it's comfortable. He was on the mountain. No doubt he might have been kneeling on rocks. I don't know where he was. But he was on the mountain. He was praying, talking to his Father. And had a reason to be there. He was depending upon the faithfulness of his Father. Now notice this is the communion that he had with his Father. They were close, very close. God the Father and God the Son were very close. Now we notice also, look at verse 13. And when it was day, okay, he's been there all night praying. Now when it's day, the Bible says he called unto him his disciples. He called his disciples to him. I don't know how he did this, but God had a way to do that. He called his disciples unto him, and of them he chose 12. All the disciples, he chose how many? 12. He chose 12. The Bible says he chose 12, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Apostles. He named those apostles. We see here the call. The call to the apostle from Jesus Christ. He brought them together. I said, after he prayed to his Father, he called them together and named them apostles. We see in verses 13, beginning with verse number 14 and 15 and 16, we see the names of these apostles that he called. But we see here, Jesus not only was depending upon the faithfulness of his Father, but Jesus also was depending upon the faithfulness of his friends. Who were who? His disciples. He was depending upon them now to be an apostle. And he's given them the commission to do what they were to do for him. He was depending upon not only his Father, but also his friends, called disciples, who now are called apostles. He was depending upon them. Folks, listen. We see it's very important here to realize that Jesus was a dependent Savior upon his Father and upon his friends. Upon his friends here in these verses of Scripture here. Now, we see, first of all, these men, what they were. Look at verse number 13. Again, the Bible says, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, of them whom he chose, 12, whom also he named apostles. These men were, again, number one, they were chosen. They were chosen by Jesus Christ. Chosen by Jesus Christ. They were also, in the last part of the verse 13, you see, they were changed. They were changed men. Changed men. You know, it's an amazing thing. God's work can only be done by God's people. You know that? The only way God's work is done is by God's people. Because unless you're changed, you cannot do God's work. The only way to be changed is to be born again. Spirit of God has to come and dwell us to give us that ability, give us that desire to want to do something for God. Now, these men, they were not only chosen, they were changed. Now, we see in verses 14 through 16 who these men were. Let's look and see who they were. We see Simon, who also was named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, called Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Now, these are the names of these apostles. The Lord Jesus Christ, he gives them that name. Now, again, Jesus Christ, a dependent Savior. He's depending upon the Father's faithfulness. He's depending upon these friends, his friends, to do the task, the commission that he's given them. He's depending upon them, okay? Now, we notice also the task given to them. Look at verse number 17. Verse number 17, not only have we talked about a dependent Savior, now let's look at a dynamic Savior. A dynamic Savior. That is one in his words, his power, the power that he has in his words. Look at verse number 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea, Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. First of all, we see here the nature of the crowds. Where did they come from? Four cities. We here have Jerusalem, Judea, Tyre, and Sidon. These people came from four different crowds, four different towns, you might say, four different areas here. We see here, talks about the nature of the crowds. We also see the conditions in the last part of chapter, verse 17, which came to hear him and to be healed of their what? Diseases. They were sick people. They had a need. They come to Jesus. And therefore, if they came down here to be with him. So we see the condition of these people here. What the multitudes sought. Why did the multitudes come to Jesus? Students, why? According to the scriptures, they came to be what? Healed. They had physical conditions, physical needs they had. They came to Jesus to be healed because they knew Jesus could do it. Amen? He could heal their bodies. And we find here as we look at this, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, his power, we also see verse 18, what took place. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were what? Healed. The Bible says they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. Well, there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Can you imagine being in an audience like that? People you know that are sick, can't hardly make it, they're demon-possessed, they have all kinds of diseases, and Jesus comes up and heals them. Can you imagine what goes through their minds? Man, what have I seen? I can't believe this. Listen, this is not a Benny Hinn thing, folks. This is the real thing. This is the real thing. God has power to heal. God has power to raise up. God has power to remove demons out of people. Mankind does not. Mankind does not. And we see here, they're specific. We see here how they were called. We see how they were chosen by Jesus to do this specific task here. Now, I want you to turn with me over to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 3. They were chosen. And in Mark, they were called, first of all. And in Mark chapter 3, we find they were chosen. Mark chapter 3. If I can find it here. Mark chapter 3, beginning with verse number 13. The Bible says, verse 13, and he goeth into a mountain and called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. Now Jesus again, he's going where? He's going to a mountain. He calls unto him who he would. And notice, why did he call him? Why did he call him in that particular mountain? Why did he call him there? We find here the 12 here are chosen. We see the call of Jesus, calling of Jesus upon them. Their call, the number. In verse 14, and he ordained how many? 12, that they should be with him, and that they might send them, he might send them forth to preach. He ordained them. He called them, we see here. Their call, how he sought them, he called them to a mountain where he was to be alone. He taught them in verse 14 that they should might be sent forth to preach. Now, this wasn't the first time they've been preaching. He sent them forth to continue to do what they had been doing, to be preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see their call here from the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see not only their call, but their commission. And the last part of verse 14 was that he might send them forth to preach the gospel. The number is 12. There's 12 of them. He's sending them forth to preach the gospel. He's sending them forth with power, for signs and wonders, the gifts he's given them to help the sick to be healed, to get demons out of people. He's given them power and authority to do what he did. So we see the 12 are chosen here. Their commission in verse 14 and verse 15 is to preach, to cast out demons, and to heal people that are sick. That's the great commission here, how they were employed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 15, we see how they were empowered and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons, the Bible says. The power comes from who? Jesus Christ. He gave them power to cast out demons and to heal the sick. He gave them power. The Bible says here, he empowers them to deal with diseases, to deal with demons. They had power to deal with demons and also all kinds of sickness, you see here. Now, notice in verse 16, and Simon, his surname, Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Barjunas, which is the sons of thunder. We see their company, their names, the symbol of the men, the sons of thunder, the three of them, in verse 16 and verse 17. Verse 18, and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, and Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into a house. They went into a house. We see here their company. He names the men here who they were here as he calls them and commissions them to do what he wants them to do. Now, notice the move. He sent them into the house. Now, notice the crowd cheer. We find here in verse number 20, and the multitudes cometh together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. He's beside himself. We notice here the crowds, the criticism from the families. His zeal from God had affected the minds of the people, the minds of Jesus, because of what he did here. But he's sending them forth to do what he did, the large crowds and their conditions. So we see the apostles were called. The apostles were commissioned, if you please. They were chosen. And in Matthew chapter 10, as we close out here, Matthew chapter 10, we see how they were prepared. Matthew chapter 10. The best thing anyone can do when they do something for God is to try to ask God to help prepare them. God to prepare them. Preparation is necessary. Instructions are given. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1, look at it. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them what? Power. He equipped them. He gave them power against uncleanness, unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manners of diseases. We see this in instruction here given to him. We see the Lord Jesus Christ as being Lord over these apostles. Not only was he Lord over these apostles, but he was Lord over all these diseases, all these demons. He's the master of everything, folks. He's in charge of everything that happens in this world. He knows what's taking place today. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He's the master here. We see here, he's the master to them. He's the lordship of all of these people that are sick, their diseases. He knows why they are that way. And he wants people to call upon him to be healed and be delivered from what they were. Now we see these men, first of all, in verses 2, they were individuals. Verse 2, 3, and 4, they were individuals just like us. We see their commission was given in verse number 5. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commissioned them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritan, enter ye not. Don't you go to the Samaritans, do not go to the Samaritans and to the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He commissioned them to go to the Jews. To go to the Jews first. Go to the Jews first. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. We see here in this passage of Scripture, the mission of these apostles were going to be limited just to the Jews. Just to the Jews. It was more or less localized. Like in their Samaria, their Jerusalem, so to speak. It was just localized as where they would be going. The message was to preach the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus coming. Preach the kingdom of God is at hand. The miracles, they were to heal the sick and cast out demons. Perform miracles for the Lord Jesus Christ, these apostles were. And notice in verse number 8, there was to be no failure. This is not phony stuff. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. There was to be no failure. With God's man, led by God, doing God's work, folks, there will be no failure. There will be no failure. And these apostles were called, they were commissioned, they were prepared by God, by Jesus Christ, to do what he commissioned them to do. Therefore, there was no failure. The diseases were healed. The diseases were healed. They were not doomed. The dead was raised. The demonic was delivered. All kinds of victories took place in the people's lives because of their commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to him. And notice in the last part of verse number 8, freely you have received, freely give. They were not to take anything for what they did. They were to live by faith. From day after day, they were to live by faith, not trusting, not asking for anything, okay? But just doing what God wants them to do. God will provide for them. You know, you've heard saying, I have too, where God leads, he provides. I believe that. What God lays on your heart to do, God will provide for you to be able to do it. And man, God may use somebody to help supply your need, and he does oftentimes. Whatever God lays on your heart to do, God is going to supply that need for you. We see that was not to be a burden. They weren't having a burden of trying to raise money to live, okay? They were just commissioned to do what God wanted them to do. Heal the sick, raise the dead, you know, get demons out of people. Resources were prohibited. They were not to take them. The apostles' reward was a promise in verse number 10. Look at it. No scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his what? Meat. The workman is worthy of his meat. In other words, I'm going to provide what you need. I am going to provide what you need. So what do we find today here? We find here, as we look at these apostles, the apostles called, the apostles chosen, the apostles were prepared to do the task that God had laid on their heart to do. Now, when these apostles all die, again, there's no more apostles. There's no more need for that. That's over with. That ministry is finished. It's finished. Now, what is our commission as believers? We're to preach the word, aren't we? We're to go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Why? They might be what? saved. Our commission is salvation, to give salvation to people. We're not to go and heal. We're not to go and raise people up and cast out demons and all that. That's God's business. It's not ours. We're to tell the gospel. We're to present the gospel to people in our day in which we live. I'm thankful today that we have that great commission ourselves to tell everybody about Jesus. The greatest news in all the world is someone to hear about Jesus Christ. Folks, this world is in a mess. But God's able. God's able. There's people in the world, in the United States today, traveling, trying to get people together to pray for this country. I said at the beginning, the greatest thing we need to do for our United States of America is to pray. Is to pray. Jesus prayed to the Father before he selected these apostles. After he prayed, then he selected these apostles. He depended upon his Father, first of all, and then he depended upon those that God allowed him to choose to do his work. If you're saved today, God has chosen you to do something for him. He will equip you to do whatever that is. But it's up to us to do it. It's up to us to do it. What a task. What a privilege we have, folks, to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one that's coming back one day to take us home. We need to pray for this country. We need to pray for the world. Got a question for you. Brother Keefe, you said pray. What do we need to pray for? What do you think is the most important, folks? Do you think we need to pray for revival? Or do we need to pray for the Lord to come? Which is the most important? Think about that this week. Put some thought to that. Ask God, which is the most important? Do we need revival? We need revival, don't we? Do we want the Lord to come? Yes, we do. But what's most important? What's the most important? Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, dear God, for the example. The Lord Jesus himself, Lord, as he called, as he chose, and as he prepared these apostles, Lord, to do the work that you had assigned to them, you had commissioned to them. Lord, I pray, God, that we might be mindful, Lord, that you've called us if we're saved. You have commissioned us as we are your children to do something for you. And God, help us to be busy. Lord, the least we can do is pray. And God, I pray you'd help us to be faithful in that. And God, that you might somehow, Lord, do a work in our hearts and our lives as we continue the study upon these apostles. Lord, next week we'll be looking at Andrew, Lord willing. And God, I pray, Lord, as we look at these men, we'll look at these men who you used to change the world. And God, we know our world needs to be changed today. And God, I pray you direct us and help us to be what we ought to be. And somehow, this work will be changed also. You're still the same God. And we thank you for loving us. That's the service we're about to go into now. The next hour, in Jesus' name, amen.